This is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and Chindi Chekwa. We have a great show for you today. It is officially August, man. So, you know, when August comes, college football starts. So, ain't quite got there yet, but, you know, it's fun time. We have a great show planned for you guys. A lot is going on. So, Chindi, you want to kick us off with the sponsors so we can get down to business?
Yeah, let me shout out the sponsors, BetOnline. So, BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
And yes, and if you have any issues with gambling, having any problems, in too deep, doing too often, feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're there 24/7 to assist you with your needs. But we're not here to talk about gambling today. We're here to talk about recruiting, man. We got some recruiting news, man. Big news for the state of Ohio. Big news. I guess real big news. Aaron Scott Jr., the number one corner and player in the state of Ohio, commits to Ohio State this following week. Big one. I mean, he had a great video. It was good. He dissed Michigan a little bit, toyed with them a little bit of things. People didn't know what was going on. His family was all decked out. I believe mom, dad, little sister, something like that. I don't know. But it was good. Smokes, glasses. He looked at he looked like the five-star player he is.
He looked like a five-star player. I like the number five. Right, for the five-star. I was a number five. I wore a number five at Ohio State. Aaron Scott seems to look like he's going to be wearing a number five as well. So I'm happy to see that at the cornerback position. Yeah, I love the video, man. And that's what it's about, man. He threw the Ohio State, and he had the Michigan whatever. He pulled out the Ohio State jersey, dissed the Michigan stuff a little bit. So, it was fun to see that. But, you know, overall, great, young, talented player, a local kid, a kid that you can imagine probably dreamed about being able to play at Ohio State and is now able to realize that dream and being one of the top players in the nation. Huge get. And obviously at the cornerback position. So, you know, I was psyched about it. You know, I mean, if you kind of looked at the process up until the point, you can kind of, I mean, I was almost 95% sure that he was going to choose Ohio State, right? Similar to Bryce as well, you know, they kind of played that, you know, should I go to Michigan? Should I go to Ohio State? Kind of back and forth, which is fun, you know, to drive up that attention and everything. But at the end of the day, you know, these guys probably dreamed of being able to play at Ohio State. I think they considered that team up north as a real option. I mean, there's a lot of factors nowadays that you have to consider. Money is one of them. What has happened the last couple of years when we went against that team is another one. The coaches and the development, the potential development. I saw Charles Woodson, a guy I played with that in Oakland, specifically campaigning for Aaron Scott to do what he did, to leave Ohio and go up north. A little different region of Ohio, not being in that Toledo northwest area where there is a lot of Michigan fans and whatnot. But yeah, it was a big get, man, and you know it feels good to see not just getting top level recruits, but getting top level recruits in the state and building that wall around the state. We're seeing it here, and yeah, I'm happy about it, man.
Yeah, I mean, and it's huge. It's a huge deal. I mean, when it came down to it, Aaron Scott Jr., he had basically stated that he was going to make his commitment on July 30th. If the date meant something to him. I want to say maybe it was his father's birthday or something like that. Might be wrong, but that date meant something. So he take his visit. So I'm going to commit on this date. His top three schools was Ohio State, Michigan, and Oregon. And obviously, Oregon is a weird one, but when you're in high school, Oregon kind of they check a lot of boxes. They got the cool jerseys, they got the Nike there. Oregon also came to Ohio State in recent years and got a victory, so kind of different, right? But you know, they made that top top list for him is in Ohio State and Michigan. Obviously, when it came down to it, like you say, him and Bryce is kind of playing. Bryce is a tall blooder from Cleveland. So, you know, he has a lot of alumni go from his school to Ohio State, but he also has some alumni from his school go to Michigan and has some a lot of success there as well. So, yeah, they kind of played that game. But when it came down to it, Ohio State got their guy. It's huge for the class, and it's huge for, once again, like you stated, built in that fence around. And
another thing is they got to get these guys. I mean, you just in general, you got to get top-level guys at every position, right? That's just, right. That's the reality. But in this nose defense, this aggressive defense, there's pressure on those guys on the edges, and you got to get guys who can play the position. You got to get high-level prospects who can go out there and play zero coverage. I mean, we saw it play man-to-man. We saw some of these big plays that led to losses against that team up north, against Georgia. At the end of the day, we saw guys in the back end who you would think had the talent to get it done, not get it done. And, you know, when you look at it, there's a lot of pressure on those guys. Play zero, play man, be able to cover in space. They get you – you know, Knowles likes to play with three safeties, two the corners. That's five DBs at times. I'm expecting some situations with more corners on the field where you have three corners, potentially two safeties. So they got to get these guys, man. It's vital for the success and the health of the defense. So it was important. I know that was a big win that I think they were expecting for a few months now, but that was definitely a big win for Ohio State.
Yeah, well, like we know, as we know, these last, let's say since the Urban Meyer years, going over to Coach Day, the offense is going to be good.
Right.
The offense is going to put up points. So, like, the question mark that kind of has been coming in over our Ohio State team over the last couple of years particularly is, you know, what is this defense going to look like? You know, are they going to be able to be that top caliber team so we could have a chance of actually winning that national championship and beating the top tier teams? Because obviously, you know, you just can't, you know, think you're just going to outscore everyone. You know, yeah. So every once in a while, you're going to have to play some defense at some critical times. And over the last couple of years, especially in these big games, you know, we haven't had that. But corners helps. Also, Ohio State, once again, staying active in the transfer portal, they was able to pick up Nigel Glover, who's a four-star linebacker from the Dayton area, here, and he transferred over. He had committed to Northwestern.
Yeah,
obviously, as we know, recently Northwestern's in a lot of trouble, a lot of lawsuits, a lot of let's call it weird stuff was going on, funny stuff going on. But essentially, instead of him reporting to Northwestern, he jumped right into the transfer portal, and Ohio State landed him. So that's once again, like we talk about getting Ohio guys to Ohio State. Obviously a four-star guy, I think linebacker, I believe from looking at some film and kind of talking around, look like he kind of played like a hybrid safety linebacker position in high school. But the guy obviously has the talent, has the size. So it's good to see that another Ohio guy stays in Ohio.
Yeah, I think a good pickup. I don't know coming out, you know, how much he was pursued by Ohio State. But, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with Nigel a couple times. And, you know, yeah, I mean, he's a talented kid. As you mentioned, played some safety in high school, ran track. He's a big guy with a lot of athleticism. And, you know, the opportunity for him to work with a guy like James Laurinaitis, who's a smart player. He's a guy I played with. Highly intelligent, high IQ, to be able to help him develop. Man, I'm excited for him. I'm excited for the kid because I know he's a kid who's really interested in learning, improving, and getting better. And he's the right kind of guy. There's the talent. You know, we look a lot at the physical capabilities, abilities, and all that stuff. And that's what you have to look at, right? It's important because if you don't have that, it's hard to actually get a guy to be able to be that type of player. And we look at the rankings a lot as well. And we talk about this all the time. Look at the guys ranking 4-star, 5-star, blah, blah, blah. But there's something about, especially at the linebacker position, of a guy who is capable of understanding and improving and high IQ. I think Nigel's that type of player. And I'm excited. I think that's part of the reason why he went to a Northwestern, right? You know, like a smart guy. But I think that's part of the reason he probably chose Ohio State over other options is a guy like James Laurinaitis being able to learn under a guy like that. And I'm excited to see what his development looks like. I don't know, you know, coming in this late. It was crazy. It's late now in the age of college football to come in right before camp, right? You know, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. But, yeah, I think it was a good pickup. And as we mentioned, it's a good pickup because he's a high-level talent, high-level athlete in the state of Ohio. And that opportunity presented itself here recently, and I thought Ohio State did a good job of jumping all over it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, one thing I guess I'm always about, because I'm Ohio kid, right? Went to, you know, from Cleveland, always watched Ohio State growing up. And then you kind of start looking at Ohio State performance. I don't know. We talk about the rivalry a lot. I talk about the rivalry a lot. Yeah. We start talking about, you know, beating the team up north. Man, it just means more to Ohio kids to beat that team. If you got the talent there and you recruit these guys, they come in. When they get to that game, they understand how your whole life from this point could be, you know, justified about what you do in this game. Where, to be frank, you know, if you get a guy from somewhere else, you know, once they come in, they hear about it and they kind of watch it and they kind of start to try to get that understanding. But they wasn't living it like some of these Ohio guys were just living it, you know, since they kind of got into football. So to me, it matters. It matters a lot. I believe Nigel also had a visit set up to Michigan. I don't know if he took that visit or not once he answered the transfer portal. But, you know, I don't know what the stars were there. But once again, but Ohio close to Ohio, and he comes to Ohio.
So he had a visit set up to Michigan. He had a visit set up to Michigan. Aaron Scott had to make a decision between Ohio State and Michigan. Bryce made, like, you know, we go back to that Gene Smith episode. We talk about, like, it's just one game. But no, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's everything. It's recruiting. It's everything. Ohio is not that far from Michigan. Yeah, a kid may understand the rivalry growing up. And, you know, they may have taken on that hate for Michigan growing up as a fan or whatever. But when it comes time to make a decision for the rest of their life, they have to step back and approach it. Okay, what's going to be best for me moving forward? And they got to factor in everything, right? Like, you know, they got to factor in everything. And, yeah, Michigan could come into Ohio and take a kid out of there, especially if they don't feel like they're getting the same level of love that team is giving them. Even if Ohio State might be interested, it's like they're not showing the same level of interest. There's a lot of things that a kid has to consider at that age. And now in today's era, there's a money piece to it. So, like, there's also the aspect of, dang, put your money where your mouth is. Like, is Michigan putting up the money? They may be, right? So, it's important. And I was a kid from out of state. I didn't grow up hating Michigan. I was an LSU fan growing up. You know what I'm saying? And
so who did you hate? Ole Miss? Like, who y'all right? Who was LSU rivalry? They have a rivalry?
LSU doesn't really – growing up, LSU didn't really have a rivalry. The rivalry was SEC teams in general. They don't have a true rival. You know, right now it's kind of LSU-Alabama kind of because they've been good. But when I was growing up, Alabama wasn't on this type of run. And Nick Saban was actually the coach for LSU at that time. So, I never really didn't grow up hating anybody. My dad went to Mississippi State. Weird, so I like Mississippi State and I like LSU. And it was just the Auburns and the Alabamas and the Georgias and everything else. It was any high-level SEC team was like the enemy. But I learned to hate Michigan. Gotcha. You know what I'm saying? I was taught to hate Michigan by guys like you. You know what I'm saying?
But that's
the value of that balance, man. You bring some guys in from the out of state that, you know, can get it done, but you have a good core of guys that are high level talents that really understand the rivalry. And I think I like the approach. I like what's happening for the most part. You know, there's some areas where you might not be getting it done as much, you know?
Right. I mean, yeah, but I mean, it's a step in the right direction, in my opinion. I know you feel the same as well. grabbing these Ohio guys, keeping them in Ohio. But in another, now this is huge. This is huge news. I mean, Aaron Scott is huge, right? Nigel coming over as a draft reporter is huge. But to kick off our 2026 class, we get basically, I feel, obviously, he's pretty young now, 2026. He's approaching his sophomore year.
Yeah.
But I feel like one day is going to be a household name. That is Chris Henry Jr. out of Cincinnati, Ohio, commits to Ohio State, the first player of the 26th class, five-star wide receiver. I believe he's like 6'5", 6'6", or something like that, rangy. He kind of has a story around him already because his father played in the NFL, Chris Henry Sr., and unfortunately he passed due to a tragic accident. But, like, this guy's like, he is a guy. And so a huge way to kick off the 26th class is getting this guy to commit. Once again, another Ohio guy. He's not even playing around, you know, with all the recruits. I mean, I'm sure he's still going to go through the process and, you know, take some offers and talk to some guys. But he let it know right up front that, hey, he wants to be a Buckeye, part of that zone six with that receivers with Hartline and Day. And he's coming in and he committed to the class. So that's huge.
Yeah, the Buckeye brand is just – is next level right now, to be honest. And the Chris Henry commit is huge. From the player aspect and from just, you got Marvin Harrison Jr. who comes to Ohio State. You got Chris Henry Jr., another player who had a dad who played in the NFL. Another guy who's from Louisiana, not too far from where I live. But, you know, his son now living with Pac-Man Jones in Ohio. So you got that element of getting a guy who's been pretty much raised in Ohio, right? And is going to be a high level talent, still really young, still developing, still growing, but he understands the game. He's been around the game. The people who have mentored him and brought him up are NFL guys, former NFL vets, talented high level NFL vets, right? It's just Ohio State is on a roll right now, man, from a recruiting brand standpoint. I think they're pretty much as good as you can be right now.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing about, like, you know, a commitment like Chris Henry Jr. here is that I feel that, you know, you could really build a top-tier class around this guy. So I watched one of our, I guess, Believe In brothers, Pac-Man Jones, who's part of the Believe In Bengals show. I watched him a little bit on the Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee, right? Is his name the guy? Pat, ESPN, the kicker.
McAfee.
It's all interesting here. But yeah, I watched him on his show, and so after he had committed, Pat Man was on the show, and they kind of shouted out a little bit, and Pat Man kind of just spoke a little bit about Chris Henry Jr. and who he is as a person, and I mean, just like, you know, character-wise, he's just top tier. You know, this guy is obviously a five-star athlete. And he's in the home. He's still a respectful kid. Take out he does the stuff, the little things you ask him to do. There's no fighting. He just kind of gets those things done. As an on the field, competitive, wants to get better, wants to improve. And this speaks really this high, you know, of the character of this guy. And I'm like, well, this is obviously a guy you want due to talent, but also a guy you want due to character who kind of understands his situation. And basically someone you could, like, hey, we already have this guy coming in at 26. So when you start looking at quarterbacks, I know we already have a 25 quarterback committed. You start looking at quarterbacks for 26 and other receivers, another class, you build a guy around them. Like, hey, you guys can come in together and do something really special and kind of keep that Ohio train going, keep us moving forward. So it's definitely a top tier commit. One shout out. Also, I found out his sister, he has an older sister. I'm going to butcher her name. I'm going to say it's Sienna Hicks, who plays basketball. She commits to Ohio State as well in the 24 class as a on the women's basketball team. So he gets to come to follow his sister and be a Buckeye as well. I'm sure that didn't hurt the decision.
Right.
Right. So, but it's definitely huge to have a guy like that, be the first commit early and just really be able to kind of, once again, lit day and the rest of the Heartline build a class around this guy.
Yeah, I think it's something about team sports, man. You got to have some connectivity. And it's it's hard, especially in this day and age of college football, where transfer portal exists. You get a guy here, a guy bounces the next year, and it's going to be interesting. How do teams like the Georgias, the Alabamas, Ohio States, the Oregons, like these teams who can pull players from all over the country, how do they operate in recruiting? Because yeah, you could get all the best talent. That don't guarantee you going to the playoff and national championship. It's important to get the best talent to be able to get to that point. But to win it, there's a level of connectivity, and it's hard to explain, and I'm interested in how they approach it, because you got to get guys that will fit together. And like, look at this on the wall, man. We created this in our senior class. You know what I'm saying? We created this in our senior class, the defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody has to be accountable. 11 guys working as one. Everybody do their 1-11. Like, we were connected in a way that it's hard to do now in this day and age, in this college football, because of transfer portal guys leaving early, all that stuff.
NIL
and all that stuff.
Somebody feeling rich.
So you got to get the best guys, because you need talent. But there has to be kind of this nucleus of guys that can keep everything together, you know. Like, you, and part of it is getting some high IQ guys. You got to have some smart guys. You got to have some. It's important to have some local guys, some Ohio guys. Like, if I come in from Florida, and there's some top level guys who are from Ohio, the learning curve of understanding the Michigan rivalry, the learning curve of just understanding how to operate here, like, or what Midwest football is, what Big Ten football is all about, is easier than a bunch of guys from all over the country coming together in Ohio and trying to make this thing work. And it's hard to put in the words for real, but
yeah,
I think it's important. I think you know, this next level, this next set of recruiting, and they've done great in recruiting. They got great guys on the team and all that stuff, but getting a good group of core guys, high character guys, Ohio level guys, allows you to go pick a couple of crazy guys out of Florida that can just ball. And but when you put it together, I think that nucleus really helps creating a good team, the guys that'll stick around, and you don't have to worry as much about, you know, transferring out and all the other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and really, I mean, what it comes down to is leadership, right, Jim? I mean, right, your head coach has a program, and he set up this program in this particular way, how he wants it to run. He wants to be super competitive. He wants to be a tight brotherhood. All coaches want these things, but the head coach kind of set that culture, right? And the head coach can only do so much. When it comes down to it, if you want to be a great team, you have to have some players on the field, in the locker room, who are leaders as well off the field. So, that's just how it goes. If you want to be a great team, leadership has to come from the top. Leadership has to be in that locker room, and it all has to gel together. And it sounds like Chris Henry Jr. will be one of those guys to come in, step in, be a leader, and also, you know, be able to build this net for a great class in the future. And also, in recruiting, we have to talk about a guy that we lost. Now, obviously, we've been talking about the high-end Aaron Scott, transfer portal guy, Chris Henry Jr. coming in, all things of that nature. But we lost out on a guy the last couple of days as well, Dylan Scott, who's from the D.C. area. We lose out. So his top schools, I want to say, was Ohio State, South Carolina, Georgia, something like that. And he ends up committing to Georgia. Now, that's a kid that, you know, I don't know how this stuff comes about, but a lot of people are always rumoring.
No, he committed to South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
He committed to South Carolina. Well, it felt like Ohio State had the lead on the guy. Somehow, sudden change. I don't know how that stuff comes out, how to decide who's in the lead. I don't know if they just talk to him and just he kind of wink at you or something. I don't know. But when it comes down to it, he ends up picking South Carolina over Ohio State. And so when it comes to edges, defensive ends, how we know over the last several years how elite we have been at that position. So far for the 24 class, they do not have that elite guy currently committed.
Yeah.
Frank. So some people care a lot. Once again, I'm not too huge on where the high school guy go. But we end up losing out on the guy who we felt like we kind of had in our grasp.
So the talk on the street, man, it's been the talk on the street. They're saying fire Coach Johnson. That's been the talk. That's been it. They're saying can't recruit. He's getting up there. Hey, I don't know when age became such a huge factor. I guess maybe always was. I guess being able to relate to coaching and whatnot. But like I always mentioned, like the guy who recruited me was a receiver coach, Coach Daryl Hazel. All right, he came out to Florida with his windbreaker on and his turtleneck, and it was like 98 degrees outside, and I was like, man, ooh, what? This guy got it. He's got to be hot, man. I don't know. Let me check out this Ohio thing, man. Let me see what's going on here, man. They got some interesting guys, but yeah, there's some I wouldn't say red flags, but there is something there when it comes to getting a high level defensive end talent, somebody who could rush the passer. I don't think it's as alarming as people are discussing, but Ohio State is a big brand. So prioritizing that pass rusher, I don't know what goes into, you know, the budget NIL or all the other things that will get a guy to come to Ohio State. But, you know, losing out on some of these guys, I would imagine that, you know, the coaching staff, the organization is looking at this and being like, we gotta do better. We gotta get these guys. So there's something there. I don't want to completely dismiss it. You know, I'm not fully alarmed about it, but I think there's something there and they got to figure it out.
See, my thing is that when it comes down to, like, you know, like I said, I think a couple guys are still undecided, but a lot of the top edge guys, the five-star guys across the nation, once again committed. And obviously we didn't land on them. The ones that we know that Ohio State was recruiting. But when it comes down to it, none of those guys are from Ohio. All those guys are from across the country. Like I say, this guy from D.C., you had, I don't know, guys across, you know, the country. Just put it like that. But there are guys in Ohio that I know we had on our recruiting board. There's a guy from, I believe, the Cincinnati area. He had a visit set up with Ohio State. Says he's not taking a visit, like the week of, like, yeah, I'm not going on this visit, and then he commits to Michigan. So, I don't know this guy. I think he wasn't a two-star, nothing crazy. He was a three- or four-star player. So, obviously, he had some talent there. And, you know, when a guy doesn't even take his visit to his home school, it's kind of alarming, right? It's just like, you know, like, well, you know, so obviously he must not been feeling the love at all from Ohio State. Like, wherever the conversations went or the conversation that he did not have, with the defensive line coach Johnson or whoever was handling his area, that communication was not there, and got to the point of, like, you know, I'm not even wasting my time with going to Ohio State. I'm just going to go ahead and commit to Michigan because obviously that's what he felt was home.
Yeah,
me, Ohio guy. This guy decided that he's not even Ohio State's not even worth the visit. And we got all these guys from around the country that we think, you know, we're the number one in their minds. And then when it comes down to it, we strike out.
Yeah, so this is one of the ones I kind of understand, though. It's like Ohio State is like the Usher of college football, or like the Chris Brown or something. Like, you could get whatever girl you want. Right?
Are you trying to say we're a sexy program, man?
I'm just saying, like, you can get whatever girl you want. So you're like, shoot, I'm going to go get the baddest one out there. Like, who is it? Is it Rihanna? Is it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm getting the baddest one out there. And then it don't work out. Then you're like, okay, let me go to the fallback. But the fallback was like, you wasn't showing me love in the beginning. Right. So right. I'm going to stick with
that's club 101.
Right. So I'm gonna stick with this one who I know this guy gonna be here for me, and you know what I'm saying. And now it's too late to go back, And it's challenging to me because if it's a linebacker, if this guy's good enough and he has the wherewithal to understand and high IQ, go get the guy in Ohio, right? Go get Nigel, bring him in, have a guy like James Laurinaitis help develop him, and this guy could develop into a star. The defensive end is one of those positions where it's easy to go try to get the baddest one out there because it's such an impactful position. It's kind of like, damn, I like this guy up the street, but man, that kid in California, man, like this guy is special and he's interested in us. We could go get him. And then when you look at it, it's like, dang, there's three of these guys. There's one guy in Cali. There's one guy in D.C. There's a guy. And if you think about it, even D.C., like, when it comes down to D.C., like, you have to think I'm ahead of the Bamas and the Georgias and stuff in that area, yeah. Right?
Chase Young's from the D.C. area.
Yeah. Right. So you're like, you know, we should have a beat on this guy here. And then we got a couple backups. We got a guy out west. We got a guy. The trouble is when you don't hit on none of them, then it's like, man, we should have really spent some time with that guy in Ohio. Even if it was, you know, even if we was interested in these other guys, we really, really should have spent some time with him. You know what I'm saying?
Man, maybe she went so pretty once the lights came on. Right. But nah. but at the same time, you know, she was consistent and she had the talents and the whereabouts. So if you develop the guy, like, you know, once again, it only comes up because we miss on the guys, right? If we would have got this guy, Dylan Stewart, you know, we wouldn't even be conversating. He'd be on the list of hoorahs and hoorays. Okay, he's from D.C., whatever, big one. But when he doesn't come, like you said, we miss out on the guys. It's like, but damn, what happened to the Ohio guys, man? And you're like, well, you know, here or there, one goes to Michigan, one goes over here. Whatever. I mean, but
– And I understand the kid. I understand the kid, too. I remember going to Florida State. Oh, yeah, and the spring game, and I'm sitting in the stands, and C.J. Spiller's on the sideline with Deion. And I'm like, damn, I ain't get the Deion treatment. So me and my guy, shout out to Richard Jackson, me and my he was one of the top receivers in the nation. We sitting in the stands with the coach. I mean, we leave it, man. Like, how C.J. Spiller gets to be on the sideline with Deion, but we not sitting in the stand? You know what I'm saying? I understand the kid being like, they're just not showing me the same level of love that they're showing these other guys, man. So
yeah, and it matters. It matters a lot. I mean, obviously we joke about it now, but you guys being from Florida and Deion on the side, you know, and obviously
I would love
you guys
to meet
don't
him.
Commit there. C.J. Spiller doesn't commit there.
Right.
He goes to Clemson. So, I mean, it matters. I mean, it matters. But, I mean, obviously, you know, you trying to do what you can to get guys and recruit guys to win. And also when it comes down to it, when you look at our conference, the Big Ten, I don't know what they're going to do with that name. It's also looking at recruiting.
Big 20.
They're in the portal as well, you know, and they're trying to entice some of these Pac-12 schools over to the conference. As you guys already know, USC and UCLA is joining the conference starting next year in 2024 football season. But now, as Colorado leaves the Pac-12 for the Big 12, now it's like only 9 teams in the conference, and now everybody's trying to fish for these guys and see who they could get. It looks like from sources, not my sources, but from ESPN sources, that the Big Ten commissioner has already been kind of doing the math on bringing in Oregon and also Washington University, the Huskies, bringing them in over to the conference. There's been rumors around Cal and Stanford and some other potential schools that Big Ten may look to add. And it's getting kind of crazy, right? They're throwing in some schools from, like, the South Clemson and stuff. I mean, I don't think none of that stuff is really, you know, really real at this time. But Oregon and Washington looks like it might actually be a real possibility. So the Big Ten is recruiting. So what's your thoughts?
Yeah, so first of all, the Pac-12 is in shambles. Let's start there. So
shambles.
The SEC, and even more than SEC, the Big Ten. I mean, they smell blood in the water, right? Like, they're a shark and they smell blood in the water. And the Big Ten to me is interesting in that You got East Coast TV markets with the Rutgers, you know, the Marylands or whatever. Not great teams, but TV markets, big markets, right? You're in the Midwest, right. Obviously. You got Ohio State. You got Northwestern in that, you know, Chicago area. And then you go out west and you get USC and UCLA. And now the Big Pac-12 lost Colorado, and it's 12 and Big Ten. I don't even know if we. I think we should just drop the numbers of all of these because it's never going to fit the actual amount of teams. But now it's like, okay, Oregon is a hell of a team, hell of a brand, right? They'd be a value add to any type of any conference. But it's a two conference race, really. It's Big Ten or whatever it ends up being. Big 20.
Yep.
And it's
the big conference
and it's SEC. And there's been some rumors out there. You know, we talked about these Pac-12 teams, and I think those are more realistic because of the situation. There's been rumors about Clemson and Florida State as well, which is really more intriguing to me because now you start creeping into the South. You already got expanded across the US, right? Mm-hmm. The one place that you haven't is that southeastern area. So if you could grab a couple teams there. But it's all about the money. It's all about the TV money.
All about the money.
And there's really some opportunity there for sure.
Yeah, and as these conferences kind of start to go down, I know, it's, like you say, the Big Ten, the SEC look like they're doing the most moves. But it always was rumored, like, everything's going to kind of go to three conferences. Big Ten has made moves. Obviously, the SEC has made moves with adding Texas to the conference, and they added Oklahoma to the conference, the biggest schools, most notably, to go to the SEC. So now it's like, who's going to be that other conference that hang in? Is it going to be the ACC? Is it going to be the Big 12? Obviously, the Pac-10 or 12, whatever they call itself, is like, they're basically out the race now. So it's interesting to see because, like we say, Colorado just went to the Big 12, you know, but the Big 12 just lost some big school. So it's like kind of interesting. And maybe it does only turn into two. It definitely would be a change because it's just, I mean, I don't even know what all this stuff even means anymore. Like, it's going to come down to the point where you just kind of randomly pick some teams to play. You have your non-conference games, some small schools or something, you know, for the practice and the rest of the season. Anything else is just all out bangers to see if you make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, so we got to look at this different, man. The future of college football is not what we have experienced. And it's not really a big – I mean, all the tradition and all that stuff is dead. At this point, I mean, that's still tradition. Like, Ohio State and Michigan will always be a rivalry, right? But everything else is dead. It's going to be an expansive playoff. You're really moving towards AFC, NFC type college football, where it's Big Ten is the big conference and the SEC conference, and everybody else just fall in line, right? The ACC, it really has Clemson, Florida State, and maybe Miami here or there. And I think Clemson and Florida State are going to leave at some point, especially Clemson. Clemson right now is carrying the ACC, and they're getting a raw deal for real because they're the ones making the money, and they're sharing it with a conference that ain't that ain't carrying their weight. So they're going to have to make a change. I don't know when the contract is up, but when that contract is up, you know, there's going to be the Big Ten at some point, the SEC. Somebody's going to try to go get Clemson out of there.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And if you get Clemson out of the ACC, it's for sure two conference, you know, NCAA or whatever we call it now.
Yeah. Because, I mean, be honest, even if something does stick around after that, if you don't have, you know, the certain amount of teams in the conference, we're going to question your record at the end of the day. Anyway, you know, you're in the Conference USA and you have an undefeated record. Like, okay, you know, what does that even mean? Like, you know, who did you beat? And it's, you know, a bunch of maybe one other team that was ranked or something like that. So, I mean, it's interesting. You know, obviously money talks, these TV deals is making things happen, change and shake up, and it'll be, you know, we'll keep our eye on it. You know, once we know something, we'll know it and we'll talk about that. But then on the other end, you know, a lot of rumors. So we'll have to see. But I mean, it's a good day. Once again, I kicked off the show saying that it's August. You know, it's officially August. Football is in the air. I think most of the NFL teams are already in camp, and I know the Browns play. They play the Jets in the Hall of Fame game tomorrow in Ohio. But in Ohio State, they report to camp tomorrow.
Tomorrow
they report to camp, man. So it's that's huge, huge for the state, huge for the kickoff of the 23 season. It's officially here. It's football time. It's no more. Just working out and, you know, rumors and things of that nature. It's time to really, you know, get ready, gear up, put the pass on, separate the man from the mice, and kick off this 23 season, man. So it's huge.
Yeah, good luck to all the players starting camp tomorrow. Still remember it like it was yesterday. I always walk into that the first day of camp. I always got like a real nice photo. I got a real nice photo of me. You know what I'm saying? I got a photo for each year walking into camp. But shout out to those guys, man. You know, I'm ready. You know, based on how things finished last year, it's gonna be hard for me to watch games as a fan. I'm gonna be watching them more critical of what I know they need to improve on. Because at some point they're going to play that team up north. At some point they're going to be potentially battling for a Big Ten championship, and they need to correct these small things now. So that's because of how the things finish. You know, it's going to be hard for me just to focus and enjoy the game. But it's cool, man. For those guys, cool, man, they don't need to worry about all that, right? They're going to be focused on enjoying the process, competing, and you know the quarterback position is still up for grabs. I know we're going to talk about that more, but that's going to be an interesting topic to continue to monitor and see what happens.
Yep. So the battle is on. Coach Day has stated already that Kyle McCord, Devin Brown are going to split reps. I mean, he didn't say how, but when you say stuff like that, you imagine it's going to be as close to 50-50 as possible for camp. So the battle for QB1 is on. Obviously, this is just the kickoff of camp. We'll have a lot more details as we as camp kind of gets along here, and you just stick into believing Buckeyes. We'll have the news. We'll have the scoop. We'll be talking about other position battles because there's lots to talk about. A lot of just really a lot of great competitive juices. A lot of competitive play going into a lot of very important positions. So it'll be interesting. It'll be a tough job for the coaches, but obviously they'll be up for the job, and we'll be here to report on it. So this is Believe in Buckeyes with Brian Browning and Chimdi Chekwa. We'll catch you guys next time. Always shout out to our sponsors, Bet Online. And as we always end the show, and as all great Buckeye shows end, we end with an OH.
I-O.
There you go.
Let's go.
You go. Go Bucks.